Herzlich willkommen, liebe Beachvolleyball-Welt, zum Cancun-Update Nummer 12. Mein Name ist Max Behlen und diese Folge ist eine besondere, denn sie wird auf Englisch stattfinden. Und den Gast kennt ihr alle, zumindest seine Stimme, denn zu Gast ist heute bei mir Louis Lett. Louis, how are you doing?
Hey, bud. Nice jingle.
Thank you.
I love the jingle. Yeah, really well. Thanks. Thanks, bud. How are you?
Me too. Yeah, people always come to me and say they have the jingle stuck in their ear. So I've got that going.
You've aced it with the first thing really. Podcast. Boom. Hopefully we can be as interesting and fun as your jingle.
I hope. Louis, maybe you can describe to us what it is you do for the FIVB.
I'm one of their commentators. So I cover more so over the last 2 years, but from the last 5 years, learning my trade as a beach volleyball and volleyball commentator for the FIVB.
And how in the world did you get that job?
It's good job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
It started off, I'm a coach by trade as well. So I started off coaching. I basically was coaching a lot and at the same time doing a lot of announcing for the British Tour. So British Tour is also growing at the moment. But a long time ago, I'm going way back in my brain here.
Dude.
And started doing some announcing alongside coaching some juniors, and both careers sort of just went side by side. I was coaching more and more, announcing more and more. And it got to the point where I ended up being in Switzerland coaching at Vaduz. It was a CV satellite event with the British team I was coaching. And Sasha Hoyer, who used to play for Switzerland, basically called me out the blue via a friend and said, I need an announcer for BM. And I heard that you coach and you've also done some announcing. And I was like, shit. I can give it a go. And that was 2014. I'd done some low level production stuff in the UK. And then went to BLBN, and in a few weeks after, I was in Poland covering the Indoor World Championships, shouting my brain off at, in front of 60,000 people, feeling a bit out of my comfort zone. But I learned some good lessons, and I think finally it's starting to click, maybe. I don't know.
It sounds like a fun job somehow.
Yeah, it's an amazing job. I don't quite know how it all fitted together, but it's good. It's led to some fun things, some skiing as well off the back of beach volleyball, and some table tennis at Rio, and some Winter Olympic stuff. So it's a really fun journey. Would be as good a way as explaining it as a career.
Very nice. And you still coach, right? So what is it you're coaching right now?
So I think like everything, it's good to do a mixture of things, because in the industries that I work in, nothing is ever nothing's ever sort of confirmed, if that makes sense. So myself and Jake Sheaf run a beach volleyball club in London called Deep Dish. Deep Dish is also a company that do beach volleyball tours, holidays, and camps. But we're here at the club at the moment due to the coronavirus, so that's being able to run. And then I also run a couple of the national teams as well that we started again through the pandemic. So Issa Petrain and Freddie Bialikos, and Jake Sheaf is playing again with Chris Gregory. So I think we're probably 3 months into a training environment for that, which hasn't been perfect. But in the UK, it's very difficult to get anything going. So we've managed to get that off the ground, which is great. So there's a bit of experience there now. And yeah, coaching is tough.
I don't think many people realize that you have that kind of expertise when you're commentating. So you can hear it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, but I don't think it's clear to many people that it's that level of expertise.
Yeah, I mean, it's always my passion to coach. I love the game, which hopefully you can hear. But I think it's in my role. It's trying to do a mixture of things. So I have to explain what's happening. I have to give an insight to those who understand the game already. But I also have to engage people who don't know so much about the sport. So it's sort of a constant balance where I try and give some nuggets of things that I see, especially tactically, but try not to go too much into that, because Obviously, that it's for a wide range of audiences, which I'm still trying to master the balance between the two, because my role in theory isn't as an expert as such.
Yeah, also because you're alone usually, so you have to balance that on your own. You don't have an expert to come back to.
It's a lonely place. It's a fun place, but it's a lonely inner dialogue. Talking out loud, but it's super fun.
Speaking of places, you called some games that are in Mexico right now, but I don't think you are.
I'm in Crystal Palace in Southeast London. We've been tasked. It's actually an amazing bit of equipment. It's called Spork. And basically, you log into an account and the TV feed comes into your laptop, into your account, and then you press record and it sends it back out via the cloud, and it goes onto YouTube, and it goes onto all of the, whoever's brought the coverage takes it. It's unbelievable. I didn't know it existed, but I didn't know it was quite as effective as what I'm finding out.
Yeah, it works well. So it's live, right? You're doing it right there live.
Yeah, I mean, there's a delay for maybe 15, 20 seconds, but that's about it. Yeah, absolutely. It's phenomenal and scary at the same time. I mean, there's some bonuses and there's some pros and some cons for doing it. I mean, it's great to be able to be at home and have more of a home life while you're working, because that's sometimes quite difficult. It's also slightly strange to commentate a game and then do the recycling 2 minutes afterwards, or do the washing up, or maybe something like that. If my girlfriend can maybe hear me, so she might argue that case.
That it's good that you're home.
That is good, or maybe bad, or that I don't actually do the chores after I do the commentary.
But usually you're at the places they play, right?
Yeah, so usually you go... You leave on the Friday. You arrive for the Final Four. You cover 8 matches, and then you fly home. So that's usually unless it's a World Championships or World Tour Finals or a 5-star. There's usually more game coverage there.
Yeah, but were you involved in the decision that you're staying home, or did the FIVB say we're doing it this way?
No, FIVB for Doha decided to do it via Spork. The test was really good. It worked really well. So it works quite well. There's obviously 3 of us covering Doha. So it works well, I guess. To be honest, I don't know, but I'd imagine it works well financially to keep us all at home, to share the shifts as well, because to have 3 of us there for 3 weeks is also quite difficult for the commentators. I mean, it wouldn't be difficult to be in Cancun, but families and stuff like that. It works. I think it works well for everybody to an extent.
But is it difficult? Because I know you like to tell stories about the players. Is it difficult to find out these when you're not there?
Yeah, for sure. That's one thing that's a hindrance. The good thing is that I have a lot of their phone numbers now, Instagrams, so I can reach out to the ones that I know better. But it's not quite the same of being able to catch a little bit of emotion or catch something. It's a lot easier once you're there. Also, these guys are really busy, right? Like some of them are trying to qualify for an Olympic Games. The last thing they want is to have Louis messaging them, being like, "Hey, can I have a quote for the live stream?" But yeah, on the whole, it's working fine. There's pros and cons like everything, but at the same time, it is working.
Yeah, but you, last question in that topic, but you wish that you can come back to the court and do it on site?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a great, like my opinion with the way that we're doing it, it's a fantastic addition.
Yeah.
So it's then deciding which tool you use for which event, but for sure being able to do home commentaries and being able to have that option is unbelievable. So I hope it just is an addition, and then they the FIVB maybe decide to send commentators to some events, not to others. But on the whole, it could work for everybody really well.
Yeah. How much do you prepare for a game or a stretch of games? To I don't know, have background information or the overall situation of the teams?
A lot.
Yeah, really?
It all depends. If you're, I mean, we're quite lucky as well that there's somebody in the background who helps us. So BVB Info, do you know those guys?
I think I know them from, they also do this portal where you can get all the matches, the video matches.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dennis Wagner and Tim Simmons are in the background collating data from that site. So in theory, I have it here as well. So I go deeper and deeper, as deep as I can during games, and I have the site going next to me. But I feel the rest of it is all about creating relationships for myself. So I think if I want to try and do beach volleyball the best service I can, it's knowing everybody that I can as well as I can. And also I really like them and I love the sport. So it's definitely not a false thing. Like, I want to get to know everybody, but yeah, also knowing people well is going to help the broadcast. So it's a mixture of all of these things. And knowing the game as well. I think knowing the game is key. So that the hows and whys at the very least. Why are teams doing something? Yeah. How are teams doing something? So having to be able to watch when you're when you don't have to watch is also key.
Sure, that means you're all also really firm in the Olympic race that we have right now, especially the men's. Have you got an overview? Well, I just want to get your opinion there. Who of the three teams? Karambula Rossi, Kanta Lozsiak, and Heidrich Gessen will take an Olympic berth.
I mean, luckily it doesn't get decided today, right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
That's the bonus. I mean, if Heidrich Gessen, I mean, this pandemic has worked really well for so many people and not so well for others. But Heidrich Gessen took a fifth in Vienna, right? That's off the top of my head, 2019. And they're in incredible form. I don't know if they're there yet, but also for Cancun, the conditions are making a big difference to teams. So that there's absolutely no there's no mistake that Karambula Rossi are getting great results because it's windy and Karambula comes into his own and his their control is ridiculous. And Kantor Wozniak the same really. Like, yeah. They've started to not play as wide. They're playing with good control.
Well, they needed time, like one tournament time, to realize that they have to stop playing wide. But now they did quite well.
Yeah, and the teams who play a bit more flamboyantly are struggling a little bit in Cancun. Like, it's, if you look on the women's side, it's the same. The ball control teams, Brazil, they're doing a great job of winning the tournaments. So in terms of the men's. I mean, I'm really interested to see Sochi and I'm really interested to see Ostrava because I think that plays more back into Heidrich Gersen's hands. But for this event, I think watching the other two teams is interesting.
Sure. And to stay in the Olympic race a little bit, have you got an overview of what's happening with the US teams right now?
I have an overview. I have to go back.
I think it didn't change because they all made the same place this tournament. So whatever information you had 1 week ago.
so actually on the men's side, Phil and Nick improved because they had to replace lower results. So they had 25ths to replace and Trev and Tri didn't. So I think... Dalhouse and Lucena move up a good few places. Sorry, a good few points again.
Yeah, point.
Hang on, I might have it here. Hang on. I think it's 240 points now, or 140 points. Yeah, there you go. For that performance. Sorry, no, 240. So it was another 120 if they were lost.
So Born Krab have to, like, really have a good one, the next one.
But don't you, I feel a bit sorry for them because I thought they played really well against the Vikings. They've just caught the Vikings.
But
some of the volleyball they're playing is really, really impressive.
Yeah, and they have three tournaments time to show that against maybe a different draw. That would be nice.
And Phil and Nick, they're making me laugh because they're winning every game that they have to.
Yeah.
Like, it's great. In Doha, they won three matches. They lost three matches, but they won the three matches that really elevated them towards, yeah, pulling away and taking over.
Yeah, it looks like they choose their matches that they have to win.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good thing when your Doha's a loose ender and you're trying to keep some gas in the tank as well. I mean, it looks like Cancun's really taking it out of everyone as well, right?
So yeah.
It's an exhausting competition to play in.
It looks like it, for sure.
Yeah, three out of three. So, I mean, on the guy's side of things, I was speaking to Kirk Pittman, friend of mine who used to live here. He now coaches the Australian program. And he's like, he personally, from a player's perspective, would not want to meet Phil and Nick in the Olympic Games either. Like, that's one draw he'd like to avoid. And I agree. So, I mean, everyone's playing well. I don't have an answer for who I think is going to go. And I think that's why it's so exciting, because it is so close.
Yeah, really. So then let's go away from Olympic qualifications. And you just mentioned the Vikings. What do you think about the comeback of Anders Moll?
Yeah, I don't have any words for it. I think when you look at I think they're turning into like really true greats of the sport already. I think it's impossible not to already start to sort of look at them in the same light.
I just saw a statistic. They haven't lost an international match for 598 days.
Yeah, Beach Volley blogs on that stuff, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously there's been a big gap due to the pandemic in between,
yeah,
which obviously helps that stat quite a lot. But what impresses me about them is they do the technical things, the really difficult things well. So the ability to hit angles and the ability to hit really tough angles and tough swings. They've added another dimension in the way of their tempos to the game, which is exciting. But what I like about them is that they're underpinned by running a great up and down game really well. And then they're adding other offenses as an extra, as opposed to other teams who rely on who are relying on jump setting or however else first, and then the stability afterwards. But what I like about them is their ability to stay strong mentally. I've never seen anything like it. Like, they have all the skills, but they also have this mental capacity under pressure to perform. And I don't know where it comes from, and how they got that far in their own mental game, but it's unbelievable.
Yeah, they just somehow they know how to win. Even when they're like back against the wall, they still manage to come back and win. It's unbelievable.
And one of them covers the other one's ass, right? Like if one of them's not quite performing, the other one steps up. And I think the other day Anders hit a jump serve at 13-12 or something like that to bring up set point in the final. And he's nailed it like a serve and a block. And you could not make a better time for that. Where Christian at other times through Cancun, they've needed a side out, they're under pressure, and he finds a side out like calmly, smoothly. There's no emotion really by the looks of it. And it helps decision making for sure.
Yeah, it helps. So we're already coming to an end with this, but I want to ask you for the Cancun Hub third event. Who do you think is going to come out on top? Let's start with a women's tournament.
Oh
yeah.
Do you know what? Every time I've called this, I have got it wrong. I envisaged in the first couple that we were going to see a really good performance from Kerry Walsh Jennings and Brooke Sweat in the wind, and we haven't quite seen that yet. And they also need to find a good performance soon. But I do believe that you can't go too far away from the Brazilians at the moment. So I'll go back with Agatha Duda.
All right.
Just because I thought they were really impressive, but I also think that when push comes to shove, if it is windy again, that's where I fancy Brazil to the absolute max. I mean, we're probably going to see Toledo around there again. And the American and Canadians are going to be very, very close to it. But if you look at the Yeah, it could be anyone's, right?
Yeah,
like really. That's, I say it all the
really
time. The one stat that really surprises me is that the last World Tour season, there was 15 events and there were 10 different winners.
Yeah.
And also, you have to see the Australians. They're going to be better again next week. Alex and April keep drawing Taliqua and Enfe at a 9th or even a 17th the week before. And Taliqua and Enfe have obviously not been playing World Tour level for some time. So to get a 5th the first week and a 9th second, they're gradually going like this with their performance too. And that's something towards Tokyo. I would be really surprised if anybody's playing their best volleyball today.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's not really about that. There's teams who have to play their best volleyball right now. Karen Bula-Rossi and Heidre Gerson and on the women's side of things, teams there as well. But actually, if coaches are thinking smart, they're trying things out now for the greater good in 2 months' time when they need to be playing their best volleyball. And that's what makes it so interesting for me.
Yeah, really. So what's also really interesting is the men's tournament, because a lot of teams have withdrawn or aren't playing. What do you think? Who's going to come out on top there?
I have no idea.
could be anyone.
I wish I could see into the future for you. Yeah, obviously, Continental Cup's coming around very quick. So Vikings have gone for that. Russia have also gone for that, but they've pulled out, so they're in our group of England. So they at the moment we're going to Turkey next week, and I'm going on that trip to Turkey, but at the same time Turkey's just gone into a big lockdown, so I have no idea what's happening there. So in terms of the men's event, again, I wouldn't look too far out of teams that have great ball control skills if it's going to stay in this sort of the big headwind from one side. So even Karen Bula-Rossi, like they could go close again. Samoa Smedins could come through and go close again. Brazil, Alvaro Filho Alisson, I'm pretty sure they're still there, aren't they? I haven't seen the list.
Yeah, they're there.
And I think they're all going to be very, very close because their win game is very strong.
I am completely with you on that. We are very, very excited, and are looking forward.
What do you think? What's your feeling on it?
Well, you said, but I have to say that the Germans, Elas Flügen, will take the first place to come back into that race of Olympic berth. So they will. They played two good tournaments, let's say it, and they can always have a big one. So I think it's time for that.
They're a great team as well. Also, in the women's side of things, I've been so impressed with the progression of Borga Suda.
Yeah.
Over the off season. So I obviously forget. I'm talking to the German crowd. They're obviously working with Tommy, and they look like they're making fast progressions. And obviously, I think they could also go very close if they find the same service rhythm as they found last week against the Canadians. They were unplayable. I covered that game against Pavan and Melissa. They were really unplayable. If they find that,
that was
form,
really strong. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were so strong. And also there's a few mix-ups in the German pairings this week, isn't there?
Yeah. That's going to be interesting with Sinja playing with Maggie. That's going to be, well, I don't know. They haven't played together ever, I think. They had 2 days to prepare now, so I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes that works out really well, though, right? Yeah. Like being able to, I feel that in my experience, even like coaching here, those little things don't mean as much in a new partnership. It's all very fresh and new, and maybe the little things that you hold on to as a pair, you don't, that doesn't hold so much weight when it's all new, fresh. Like a relationship, I guess.
Yeah, sounds about right. Well, yeah. Thank you for satisfying the German crowd to the end also by getting some German names in. But thank you so much for this interview. Let's call it a talk more.
Yeah, for sure. It's been really good. And keep up all the good work that you're doing. It's great to come on.
You too. keep up all the good work. And all right, Louis, have fun commentating and maybe going to Turkey. We'll see each other. Have a good one.
You have the little London Olympic top on as well there, right?
I have. I've been there.
Oh, nice.
In 2012, I've been there. I'm wearing a shirt with the Olympic logo from London. So
it was a good one for you guys.
Yeah, it was.
Did you go to the finals?
No, we already left when they played. When Brink Rekaman played, we had to go and we couldn't afford tickets.
Yeah, I was lucky. I managed to get one. it was unreal. Okay, very good.
I'm envious. All right. Thank you, Louis.
Cheers. Max, cheers, bud. Have a good day. Thanks for having me on.
Ich hoffe, ihr hattet Spaß mit dieser Folge. Wenn ihr mich unterstützen wollt, dann könnt ihr das erstmal damit tun, mir bei Instagram unter Maximum Beach Volleyball zu folgen. Wenn ihr ein Apple-Gerät habt oder iTunes oder Apple Podcasts, dann könnt ihr da gerne eine Bewertung dalassen. 5 Sterne wären schön, aber je nachdem, wie ihr euch fühlt, eben auch gerne was dazu schreiben. Und ansonsten überall, wo man Podcasts abonnieren und folgen kann, könnt ihr das da gerne tun. Spotify und so weiter. In diesem Sinne, gut Kick, bleibt dran und bis zum nächsten Mal.